first time.
It doesn't work?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Anyway. All right. Oh, it's good. So let's join our hearts and pray first. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you that, Lord, you have prepared this wonderful, very, very nice basement for us. It's not as hot as outside. And also the quietness that we can use of in worshiping you. Thank you for the brother and sister who just led us in the time of singing. And thank you for the talent. Thank you for using the gifts so that we can all come together and sing to you. Lord, we continue our worship to you, and now is your time to speak. And we pray that, Lord, we all come with prepared hearts. Our lives are open to you so that your spirit can come and freely minister to each one of us according to our needs. We commit the following time into your hands, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so next slide. All right, so this is the first saying on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the point that, you know, we took from reflecting on this first saying is God forgives, which is a big thing. Like, before God did anything, the first thing that God communicated with us is, I'm willing to forgive. I'm ready to forgive. Okay, next slide. The second saying is Jesus answered him. He was talking to one of the thieves who were being hung just beside him. Truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And out of the second saying, what we sort of took away from that is Jesus is ready to help. Okay? You have to remember that that thief turned to Jesus. He was so close to dying. Okay? And I don't know whether it was his last breath, or if not last, it would be very close. And he turned to Jesus and he requests. And Jesus returned back to him and said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So Jesus was so ready to help. Okay? Next slide. The third thing, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here's your son. And to the disciples, here's your mother. From that time on, his disciple took her into his home. And from this, the third saying, we learn that Jesus took his responsibility seriously. I'm not going into detail, okay? I think they have recording on the website, so if you're interested, you can go to the MCLCC website, and you'll be able to hear those past messages. Okay, today is the fourth. Next slide. Okay, so here is that one line, okay? And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Alright, so before I'm going to share with you the main point, okay, I want to sort of take you a little tour in pointing out certain things. Usually, we just focus on the saying, we'll get to that, but if you go back to the surrounding, which is the scripture reading this afternoon from Mark 15, 33 to 36. If you have your Bible open, or if you want to open your Bible, you can turn to Mark 15, 33 to 36. There are actually quite a few of things to pick up, which we don't usually do. So I want to draw attention to those observations first, and then I will bring you to the main point that I have prepared. Okay? So first observation. Number one. Jesus made the fourth saying at 3 o'clock. In the afternoon, according to Mark 15, 34. Okay? 3 o'clock. All right. Number two. This is how Jesus made this, meaning the fourth saying. According to Mark 15, 34, he cried out in a loud voice. He didn't mumble. He cried out in a loud voice, meaning that when he said the fourth saying, people heard it. Okay? People heard it. Okay? So that is the second, that is the second observation. Observation number three. According to Mark 15, 35 to 36, people near the cross, there were people near the cross, when they heard Jesus say the fourth saying, what they took away was, according to verse 35, when some of those people standing near, the cross, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled the sponge with a wine vinegar, put it on a staff, offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Okay? So this is how people interpret what Jesus said, the fourth saying. They thought Jesus was calling Elijah. He is calling Elijah to come. So while some people took a sponge and put some wine on it and give it to Jesus, after they've done everything, they say, "Wait, let's see if Elijah come and take him down, take Jesus down from the cross." That's how they understood what Jesus said. Next slide. Now, we are now zeroing in on the fourth saying. Do you know that the fourth saying is the only saying that was recorded in the original language first, and with the translation immediately followed? Jesus said seven sayings when he was on the cross. This, the fourth saying, is the only one that was being recorded in the original language first and followed after a translation. Okay? We'll come back to that. Why? Think about why. Why this was being recorded in the original language first. Okay? Next. Jesus was actually, you may be wondering what Jesus was doing, but to save you guessing, when Jesus said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," he was actually quoting or memorizing another psalm, which is Psalm 22. If you check with the Bible, the first line in Psalm 22 is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" which is the translation of "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Okay? So Jesus was actually quoting or memorizing. Of course, because of his condition, he was unable to memorize the whole psalm. But by just saying the first line, okay? And if you compare that first line with Psalm 22 verse 1, they are exactly the same. So Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. You may not know that, but this is what happened. Okay? Finally, many of us, like we have seen how people around the cross, their interpretation of what Jesus said on the fourth saying. They thought Jesus was calling out, "Elijah, Elijah, come and help me out." So that's why they did everything they had to, and then they said, "Wait, let's see if Elijah come and take him down." Okay? This is their interpretation of what Jesus said. Our modern readers, meaning all of us here, we also have our own interpretation on the same line. And our interpretation is, "Oh, God is forsaking Jesus." Have you heard of that? Almost every single time, no, since most of the time when people are talking about the fourth saying, their explanation is, "Oh, God the Father is forsaking Jesus." That is AL10 understanding on the fourth saying. Next slide. We take that saying at face value, okay? But actually, what Jesus is not saying is, even though he began with the quoting, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As I have already told you, Jesus was quoting or memorizing Psalm 22, verse 1. Okay? But if you have time to check out Psalm 22, which I did, there are more than 30 verses, so I don't want to bother you this afternoon. But if you're interested, go home and read the entire Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, especially when it comes down to verse 24, this, I believe, is the whole climax of the entire psalm. Okay, even though we thought Jesus was saying, my Father, why have you forsaken me?" And you have stuck with that interpretation or understanding for a long, long time. But according to Psalm 22, verse 24, What is really happening is, this is exactly the quote from the Psalm, okay? For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. Okay? He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Let me say it again. Psalm 22:24. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Okay? So, you have to change your understanding on the fourth saying from this point on. The fourth saying has nothing to do with, Father, why have you forsaken me? The reason why we have that understanding is because this psalm begins with that line. But that is the first line of the entire psalm. That psalm is 30 plus verses long. And the key is, as I said, lies in 22:24, which is the total opposite of what you see in 22 verse 1. Okay? So what I'm trying to say, next slide. What I'm trying to say is, Jesus is working through Psalm 22 to express his trust in God, not in circumstances around him. Why? Can we have the next, the previous line? Because of what you see in verse 24. God has not despised or scorned. He has not hidden his face, but has listened to his cry for help. Next slide. You get the connection now? So the fourth saying is basically about Jesus trusting everything he has, even though his circumstances was in a very, very bad stage. But circumstances did not keep him away from trusting everything he has in God the Father. He was expressing his entire trust in God the Father by quoting Psalm 22. So the takeaway from the fourth saying for us today is, just like what Jesus has gone through, we also need to learn to trust God, not just in the good time. How many times non-Christians are doing that, right? That is the reason they go to church. They are the reason they go to the temple. Why? Because they want to offer up sacrifices so that the gods will help them, right? And unfortunately, some Christians, they have a similar mentality when they come to church. Or when they engage in the Christian faith. God is good as long as he bless me. God is good as long as he answers my prayers. But what happened one day if God may not answer your prayer immediately or quickly? Then we start complaining. Then we start, you know, our foundation is start shaking. That is what happened. Okay? What Jesus is teaching us is, the more you get to know God, of course you need to get to know him, and God will allow you to experience him, okay? As you continue to experience God, you begin to develop trust in him. And for this trust to be mature, you have to go beyond just the mindset of a non-Christian, or the mindset of some Christians, and that is, I trust God as long as he listens to me. I trust God as long as the circumstances are good. I trust God as long as things are in my favor. You need to change that. If you don't change that, if you still operate on the same mindset that I just shared about, you will be struggling. In fact, you'll be struggling a lot. Some people, they even give up the faith simply because God is not doing what he or she is asking. God is not for that. God sometimes will allow favorable circumstances to your way. God will bless you sometime. But blessing doesn't mean just good. Everything has to be good. Okay? I want to read you two verses from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11. And these two verses explain why God the Father has to put Jesus through that terrible ordeal on the cross. Okay? Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 11. It's not on the screen, so listen. Yet it was God's will, okay, key word, it was God's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will hear their iniquities. What do you hear? Do you hear God's will? Do you hear that? It is God's will to crush Jesus, to cause him to suffer. Do you hear that? After Jesus has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Have you heard of this saying? No pain, no gain. That principle applies even to Jesus. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Do you know how Jesus learned to become obedient when he was a human being? I'll give you 10 seconds. See if you can have an answer to yourself. How did Jesus learn obedience when he was a human being? The answer, Hebrews 5, 8. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. You hear that? Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. He had no exemption. Sometimes, like Jesus, you also learn obedience through sufferings. Or you become mature through tough time, struggle. Is bad things, struggle, absolutely bad? Not necessarily. Sometimes it is. But God sometimes works through tough situations. In Jesus' case, he had to run through the cross. Without going through the cross, you will never see him being exalted high above and sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, today. It will never happen. Okay? Next slide. I want to give you two examples, and then I'll close with my example. Okay? This is Jesus. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that? Which one first in sequence wise? The suffering first. The tough time first. And then what happened if Jesus was obedient throughout the entire ordeal? He is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what happened to him. There's another example which is very well known. Those of you who grew up in the church, you have heard of that. Daniel's three friends. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, this is their answer to the great king Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You know this story. I don't know whether you remember exactly that exchange. Okay? For Daniel's three friends, in front of them is a threat. They could die. And they summoned the courage, the faith, and told the great king Nebuchadnezzar, we will not do that because we believe our God is able to deliver us. And he can. But even if God chooses not to, we still don't worship the God that you have set up. That is the obedience. And you know what happened after the soil. I don't have to say it again, right? So, yes, it is good to trust God. But as your relationship, as your trust with God grows, it will have to go through some difficult time. Just like what Jesus, Daniel's three friends, almost every characters in the Bible that you come across, they all went through difficult time. And some of their experience were designed in such a way by God that they have to go through that so that they will be able to know God more. Their faith in God will be more mature. And if you want to see your faith mature or grow, sometimes it is necessary for you to go through, quote unquote, the tough time. So as a result of learning all this, that's why you need to reposition your faith. Where do you base your faith? Do you base your faith based on circumstances? Based on just the positive side of God's blessings? Or do you learn to trust God, not the circumstances? Because you know that you believe that God knows what he's doing. And you learn something from the fourth saying of Jesus that, you know, sometimes you have to go through something tough, difficult, in order to get something great. And God wants you to do that. Sometimes, you know, naturally, you may not want to do that. You know, if God tells you everything, you know, you will be great, but before you become great, you will have cancer first. The moment we hear, oh, I have cancer, no, I don't care how great I'm going to become, I don't want cancer. So sometimes it is by purpose that God does not unveil everything at once to us. He only reveals steps, one step, two steps, or maybe maximum three steps. He doesn't tell you the whole story. Why? Because he wants you to learn to trust him. You have to trust him. Your faith is trusting God, not in circumstances. Jesus trusts God despite what he was going through at the time. Because he believed God knows what he was doing. And I trust him. And I also trust him that, you know, the difficult thing that I'm going through will lead me through something great. And that great thing will not just benefit me, but it will also glorify God. All right, now, my story. When I was around grade 11, that summer after the grade 11 study, we went to Calgary. I was studying in one of the small towns in Alberta. So that summer, four of us, including myself, we went to Calgary to take summer school. And four of us rent a basement so that all four of us will be able to afford the rent. Okay? So that summer, typically my parents would send me money from time to time. Okay, I was a foreign student at the time, so my parents would send me money from time to time, make sure that I have enough money to live my life. So that was the pattern until that summer when I was in Calgary living with my three friends, schoolmates. And I ran out of money. For some reason, my parents were unable to send me money on time. There was sort of like a gap. And because, you know, at the time, you know, who cares, you know, it's not my money, right? It's my parents' money. So when they gave me money, you spend, okay? So you don't think about tomorrow. So I was caught that summer. I was caught. I had no money. My parents said, oh, we tried to send money, but we may not be able to get that to you. Let's say tomorrow or next week, you may have to wait a little bit longer period. And I didn't have that time because I ran out of money. I was caught. Thankfully, my three schoolmates, they cover for my rent. Not cover doesn't mean they pay for it, okay? They temporarily cover the rent and the food until I receive money from my parents, then I will be able to pay them back, okay? But it was already a big service. Otherwise, I will have no money for food, no money for rent, nothing, all right? So I was very, very thankful for what they have done to me. So to me, it was a wake-up lesson. Okay? A wake-up lesson. You have to sometimes hit your head to the wall, against the wall, to wake up. So after I went through that experience, what I have learned is, when you have money, you better save some aside. You don't have to spend all. Okay? Save some aside. So that when the unknown hits you again, at least you have some money, not no money, which is the experience that I had. So from that bad experience, I grew up to today. When I have money, I'll put some aside. It has become my habit now, saving. And if you ask, how do you learn about saving? I'll point you back to that story I just shared with you. When my head hit against the wall, when I was at the end of my rope, I thank God, my three schoolmates, they bear me out temporarily. At least I survived until my parents' money finally, you know, come to me, and I was able to pay them back. But that lesson has forever changed me. This is what happened. Okay, of course, my story has nothing to do with Jesus, what Jesus went through. But I think, you know, sometimes when you go through tough time, naturally you may not like it, but spiritually, I encourage you to pray a prayer and ask God, God, you seem to put me this, naturally I don't like it, but since you allow this happen to me, can you tell me what you're trying to teach me? Or what do you want me to learn? So that after going through this difficult or not so favorable, not so good circumstances, I will be a different person. You must have something in store for me. Can you please reveal that teaching to me? So that I'll be able to learn. I just don't want to waste that opportunity complaining, blah, blah, blah. You know, of course there are time for you to complain. But the thing is, God, you know, you must have something in store at this particular circumstances. What you're trying to teach me. I promise you, if you let me know clearly, I'll follow you. Because I know that you'll provide for me along the way. That is what the fourth saying is about. Trusting God. And put your trust in God, not the circumstances. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for using the fourth saying of Jesus to teach us a very important lesson on trust. And that is, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, you know, I have no doubt we all trust, but do we really trust you? Or do we really trust your blessing? Or do we really trust the good things that you're doing to us? But we have no room in our life when you do something a little bit different. Or from human's point of view, when you do something bad to us. And then we stop trusting you. We start doubting you. We start saying, Lord, God, why this, why that, why this, why that? We thank you for Jesus' example. Even though he is the Son of God, he still had to went through what a human being had to go through. And he went through this experience successfully. And he left us a very, very good example to follow. By looking at what he said, the fourth statement, he has taught us to trust in you. To put all our focus, our trust, our faith on God and God alone. Not in circumstances. Not when God is blessing me in a good way. Not when things go my way. No. We trust you because we believe that you know everything. You have our best interest in your heart. And sometimes you allow us to go through difficult things is because you want us to grow up. Or you want to pull us closer to you so that we know more about you. The more we know about you, the more we'll learn to trust you. So we are thankful for this wonderful lesson. Pray that, Lord, you will continue to help us in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So before communion, can we have the lyrics on the screen? This is a song that we're going to, you can sing along, okay? They will play the song together. You can either sing along with us or you can meditate on the lyrics, okay? The song is called We Choose the Fear of the Lord.
We choose the fear.
In a moment, I'm going to ask those of you from the back to come through the middle aisle so that you will be able to take the bread and the cup. And returning back to your seat, remain standing, okay, until everyone receives the elements. Then we will celebrate the communion together. Communion is for people who have already committed their lives to Jesus and have received water baptism from any Bible-believing church. So if you're already Christians and you have been baptized by any Bible-believing church, we invite you to come and celebrate the communion together, because this is something that Jesus has put together so that his people, his followers, will be able to do this regularly in remembrance of him. Okay? And if there are people here, you're not Christians or you have not baptized yet, you know, you don't have to do anything. You can just remain in your seat. If you want to take this time to have a prayer or have a moment of silence, you're welcome to do so. If you do have questions about, you know, the why and how, or whatever, about baptism, about communion, or being, how can I be a Christian? I think, I'm sure, we have three pastors here today. We have Pastor Christian, we have Pastor Daniel, and myself, you know. So you can direct your question to any one of us. I hope we are ready to help you out. Okay, so let's pray before the people from the back can start coming down. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for the invitation to come to your table. We thank you for your great sacrifice for our sins by proving to us that you really love us. You're not just talking. Your action shows that you're willing to become a human being. Like what Paul said in Philippians, you became a servant. and that was not even low enough, then you continue to humble yourself until you finally die for our sins on the cross. And because of the great humiliation that you have gone through, God the Father have elevated you to a place that there is nothing and no one will be coming close. That at the name of Jesus, everyone should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. We celebrate your greatness because, Lord, you have left us a good example. And this afternoon, we want to come to you. Thank you for introduce and teaching us how to fear you. We thank you for your way, which allow us to experience wisdom and blessings. We are also thankful for your word, not just the physical word that we use in our Bible, but the word that became flesh, Jesus himself, becomes the living word. And your teaching and your presence has been with us, your followers. And your commitment continues to use your word to guide us, to bless us, and also to work through your presence so that we will never be alone. You promise that you will help us. You will not abandon us. So for all these promises, we want to say thank you. This is a time for us to come to your presence, to reflect on your goodness, and to respond to all the things that you have done so far. And we want to, in response, saying back to you, God, or Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm thankful, we are thankful for you, and we are also grateful for everything that you have done to each one of us. Accept our praise and thanksgiving to you, and please also work through the communion this afternoon to continue to strengthen us, so that we will resolve to trust you more. And we'll resolve to trust you and you alone. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so those of you who are in the back, please come to receive your cup and your bread. There you go. Okay? Everyone has one? Okay. Okay, Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you." Every time we eat of this bread, we have to remember him. Okay? Let's take the bread together. And after that, Jesus hold up the cup and say, "This cup represents the shed blood that I did on the cross. Every time when you drink of this, you have to remember me." Let's take the cup together. Father, once again, we thank you for creating us, loving us, and thank you for the great love that you have shown to us, even though we have chosen to turn our back against you. Thank you for working through your Son, Jesus, and his obedience, so that you have opened up a new way for us to come back to you. And with the help of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is currently doing, we enjoy this wonderful relationship with you, God the Father. Lord, may you not only help us to enjoy and also appreciate what you have given us, but at the same time, we also pray that you will help us to realize that the object of your love is not just limited to all of us standing here this afternoon, In fact, the Bible said, for God so loved the world, everyone in the world. And we understand while we are celebrating communion, there's still other people, either in this church or outside this church, they have not heard about you or they have not been given the opportunity to trust in you. May you work through your people so that, you know, through maybe our testimony or maybe our explanation or whatever, we can help other people to know more, a little bit more about you. Or maybe with your Spirit's help, we may bring those people one step closer to Jesus. Lord, because you love them too. So we commit ourselves to you and we pray that, Father, thank you for your blessing. And we know that your blessing is not just stopped at us. We are just the beneficiary, part of the beneficiary of your blessings. You want to work through your blessings through us so that the whole world will be blessed by you. So help us to think like that. Help us to have your mindset as we live our life so that we will be mindful of people around us who may want to hear about you, who may be ready to receive you. All these people need is someone like your followers to show them the way or tell them the way so that they will be able to, like us, commit their lives to you as well. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Lam. So we're actually going to sing our response song. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And as we sing, it's really an opportunity for us to just reflect and meditate on the Word. You know, something that we're constantly being reminded of is when we gather, we actually want to leave looking a little bit more like Jesus. And Pastor Lam just took us through the Word, where essentially the Word was encouraging us to trust in God, just like how Jesus trusted in God. So if we take time to meditate or reflect, we're actually going to sing a song called More Like Jesus. And if we can even just meditate on the Word that we just received and even just pray and ask God to help us to be more like Jesus and to trust in Him the same way that Jesus trusted in Him. So I'm going to turn it over to Lewis and Shema. And let's just stand as we sing this response song together.
For a few means less of me, take it. If more of you means less of me, take everything. There's all of you, it's all I need. Take everything. Change me, I only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world, I need to know who you are. You've shown us the way to your heart, so Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name I pray.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you, team. Okay, we're going to pray for the offering, and then there's just a few announcements that I want to share with you guys. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be stewards of the resources that you have given to us. And we want to be good stewards of not only our finances, but also our time and the gifts and the talents that you have given to us. So Father, we just pray over what has been given today. And we just thank you for the joy that we can experience in being joyful givers and in being good stewards of the things that you have provided for us. Thank you for the vision and the mission in this church. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom on how to use these resources to further advance your kingdom and to honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. So again, just thank you, Pastor Lam, for your sermon today. We will have some refreshments after our worship gathering and a short time of fellowship. The Chinese ministry is holding a family candlelight dinner on November 1st from 5 to 9, so we can be praying about that ministry and as they get together for their dinner. Also, just wanted to say thank you. We know in the past we've had some issues with mice in the basement, but thank you guys for not leaving any food in the garbage bins or anywhere in the basement after we leave. So keep up the great work. If we can go to the next slide. So we are continuing our Bible reading plan this week. Okay, this has been a great time together. This past week, we read Genesis chapter 4, and it's something that we just started at the beginning of September. Personally, for me, I've really enjoyed the time together after the service, where everybody is welcome now to come out to Sunday school, and it's a time just to discuss what we've read in the week, but also just to catch up with one another on the week and to be praying for one another. So my encouragement to you guys as we get into Genesis chapter 5 this week is, you know, take some notes about what God has been teaching you through his word. And actually come ready and prepared to share something that you are learning. I've already shared with you guys on the chat the three questions that we can kind of be thinking about as we read. But really just even take notes on something that God is teaching you and come ready to share when we gather together for Sunday school. Okay? Next slide, please. This week, we'll be continuing the second part of our movie. Okay, we watched God's Not Dead the last time, the first hour, and we had a great discussion afterwards, just sharing about some of our reservations with sharing the gospel in our current schools or even at work. We had the opportunity to pray for each other as we go out to be able to share the gospel. And even just talked a little bit about the movie. So we're going to finish the movie this Saturday. And we will have another discussion on the movie and just catch up with each other. Next slide. Prayer meeting every Thursday at 7:30. The Zoom ID and password is there. So if you're able to, please come out to prayer meeting. It's a great time just to be praying for the church. Next. Okay, so we're going to close off with our doxology and also just with our benediction. So I'll ask you guys to just stand one more time. And Alvin, pray for us.
Praise our God, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all God, the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
All right, guys, let's just pray. as we go into this new week. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Just ask that your word would continue to come alive in our hearts and be translated into authentic obedience and living. God, I just pray that we wouldn't just leave here today just and join another service, but we would actually wrestle with your word. That if there are areas of our life where we struggle to trust you, God, if there's areas of our life that we haven't fully surrendered to you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal those areas to us. And may we fully surrender all areas of our life to you, God. As we enter into another week, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cover us with your peace, fill us with your joy. Give us the strength that we need for another week so that we can live as your church and be the followers of Christ that you have called us to be. I pray that you would protect us from the schemes of the enemy, and I pray that you would protect us from the distractions of this world. And may we also intentionally and actively choose to make decisions throughout this week, God, that will honor you and please you. So I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cover us throughout this week and also just give us the boldness and the courage that we need to continue to stand up for truth and to stand up for just the things, God, that you say are right and pure. As we live in a world and society that is constantly redefining what is truth and what is right, may we as your church stand up for the truth of your gospel, the truth of your word. And may we not waver or shrink back in proclaiming this message of truth. So go with us, Holy Spirit, and we just thank you for your presence in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, you are dismissed. There are some refreshments on the side. Let's fellowship together. There will be no Sunday school today, but we will continue next week. Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. So there's no Sunday school today?
No Sunday school today. So we don't normally have it on the first Sunday.
Oh, gotcha.
Because of we have the communion.
Yeah, I got it.
So
yeah,
we might try to, we might try to switch it up because we want to be consistent with the Sunday school.
Right.
But
yeah.
For sure next week we'll have it.
Okay. Yeah. That's why you asked us to read chapter 5.
Uh-huh.
So next week we're going to review chapter 4.
4 and 5.
And 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's anything from both chapters, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give Kevin an update.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
No feeling embarrassed coming to here.
Okay.
Because he thought maybe she's a wrong back or something like that.
I know Xu Heng did talk to him. Xu Heng said that he didn't talk to him.
Yeah.
I just told him everything's well, but I guess.
Yeah, it's something like in him. Like he is hard to have a good thought about it.
I just
don't want to come, he said. Yeah.
I'll try to reach out to him this week and encourage him.
Okay. Yeah, that might work, you know. Yeah. Thank you very much.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, actually. Yeah. I keep my spirit high.
Awesome. I know, you always have a good joy about it.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Danny. How are you, man? Good. How you been?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Good. How's hockey?
Yeah. Pretty nice.
Yeah. You're right into it now? The season? Yeah?
Yeah, he's starting to have a couple
days. Okay, cool. How's your team
looking? Our team's not this year.
No?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did you have a lot of turnover?
Oh, no, our team's just like, most of our team is like from a level below. There aren't many players that are like, actually.
When do you play normally?
It really depends because I think I usually have like a game on the weekends and one during the week. The weekends it depends, sometimes it's Saturday, sometimes it's Sunday.
Okay. That's why sometimes we don't see you on Sunday, right? And you also have practice in the evening too?
Practice? It's like Sunday evening, or sometimes it's like Sunday night.
Well, I hope you have a good season, man. No injuries. How's school been so far?
I've been taking a lot more AP.
Cool. So
you
want to grab something?
I'll grab some before
we can apply our. Yeah, it's good to see you. You know, I used to be a pastor.
Yeah.
So we are applying for our state.
Thanks, guys. So there's a container inside the storage room. And you can just find it there. That's a yellow bit. Oh, awesome. Good job, y'all.
So cool.
I'm just on the wall there, bro. Sorry, I've been on the floor. You guys are too funny, man.
See you next month?
Yes.
Yeah.
Take care. See you again?
Yeah.
Great job. How was it? Be honest. Fun, nervous, mix of fun, nervous. Yes, mix of fun and nervous.
Pastor Christian, right?
You guys are in the States now, somebody said?
Yeah. So I'm originally from the States. And we came up originally.
Because my wife is doing her PhD at University of Toronto.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so she's just wrapping that up.
And you guys are going to be just settling in?
No, so actually we're heading to Spain for our next destination. There's a Chinese seminary there that wants to bring my wife on board.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
cool, man. Yeah. So that's where you're heading next?
Yeah, that's where we're heading next.
Wow. Yeah. Praise God, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Have you been to Spain before?
We did a quick trip earlier in February. So we did about a month there. So my wife taught a little bit there, and then she finished it out virtually.
Okay.
The kids really enjoyed it, the tattoo kids. Okay. Both very young.
Yeah.
So,
how old are they?
One is 4.5, the other is 1.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a half a problem with all of them, but. Yeah, they seem to really enjoy it.
That's a good age thing.
Right, right before school. We're going to give it at least 2 years to see how the kids adjust. And if it's like really, really rough, then we'll kind of reevaluate and see what comes next. My wife is really going to be fine. I actually just went back to be with her family. And like a lot of her friends and family were like,
we should just go back here.
They're all like, we have these travel things here and stuff. All of you. So, I mean, Taiwan is always that possibility. From the States. I can always go back there too. New Jersey.
Are you planning to go to
Right now, I'm in the seminary. I'm going to be doing
I work on my language. So the cool thing is because I grew up in the States, I did take some Spanish. So I do have appreciation of that, but I do need to improve that. So you know, the first year or so, we really want to focus on like language. My English and Spanish, hopefully, if I can develop both, that would be ideal.
I'm not sure if you're familiar, like Victoria Park, Ellesmere area.
The only part of Scarborough I'm familiar with is we actually did a couple of short term relationships with TCM. Yeah, so out in they're now called Kingston Galloway.
Kingston and kind of Markham.
Like Morris Ave.
Yes.
And like the Scarborough Golf Club Road.
So that's further east from the it's like maybe I would say 45, 50 minutes.
Charm shouldn't be too bad on this side.
You know what, surprisingly, coming here on 401, there's pockets of
roads. Oh,
And then there's lots of other parts.
Okay.
No, it's okay. I'm learning a bit more about Mississauga as I go.
Okay, because
I would never be a Mississauga anyway. On a regular. Yes. Why?
I wanted a photo of the three of you.
Because
the three English pastors I've ever had in the
whole world. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, he went away. Are you
good? Earlier.
Yeah, you should have stopped and
read. Yeah, I was eating. You were eating, yeah.
You drive back?
Yeah. I'm not going to fly with more than four of us. Yeah. That would have been more of a hassle. So, the driver is the best.
Is there a car going to shift this thing?
No, I'm just going to leave it to the parents. We're going to try to make it without a car for a little bit and see how that goes.
Barcelona is not driving more than this thing. Is it really?
We're actually outside of Barcelona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, yeah. We're not, like, in the driver.
Did you figure out where our CMP is?
We got an organization to help us with that. Except website won't load. Like the RCMP, like we check website, I can't get it to load.
Are you trying to get a background check?
Yeah, we need a background check and everything. So for our visas.
Yeah. Do you have the data or?
Yes, we do. No, they're doing it.
Nonprofits exist.
For struggling immigrants.
Who takes this now?
Last time.
Huh?
What time are we staying? Yeah, man.